When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Bit about design trends. There's a fantastic creative trend report from our friends at Creative Market, and we're going to go over that as well. And we're going to tell you a little bit. Obviously, you're probably seeing us too. Hopefully, you're watching us now, because we're going to try to make a really big shift this year with what we've been doing. And in most cases, video is going to be 100% what we want to do. And that way, you can listen to us audio, you can listen to us audio and video, whatever you want. The DGDC is kind of broadening and kind of opening up to some other ideas. And so Mikkel and I were thinking, we were like going to keep this thing moving and to kind of get with our scheduling better. Mikkel and I are going to kind of host what we call like the anchor show. And that's going to kind of fine tune into something like that. And that could be us chiming in with any late breaking stuff or cool reviews or good interviews. And then obviously we have Tom doing The Next Level, which is another good show. And that inspired us to kind of think about what other folks would want to do something unique, including Jordan putting together a unique show with a few other friends that I'm well aware what would be a fun show for him to put together and do an independent show. And then I've reached out to a few other people, and Mikkel and I were chatting the last time we talked, and you had a few. This instantly kind of sparked a few ideas of some cool people, right?
It's a good jump start into some ideas that have been in the wing regardless. So kind of refreshing in that some of the old faces and voices, some fresh and new themes. We don't need to every year overview similar from the previous or 2 years prior. We're going to freshen this up. Yeah. I think we got into a little bit of a cycle, which maybe a little bit more standardized. And I think we're getting a little tired of being standard.
Yeah. My big catchphrase is being unconventional. This is the year to do it. Like, we have so much ahead of us, and with AI and all these other things. And I feel like branding and design and what we do is so in the forefront, and even people that aren't artists, right? It's like, I'm really admiring the folks that are heading off on different paths and trying something different.
Yeah,
and
stretching the envelope. I'm glad you mentioned that. I mean, rather than just talking about it, but actually putting it into canvas. So it's nice to see that there's a little bit more edge. And maybe AI was the start to that.
It really was. I think because it's like, it got us all thinking about, I don't want to call it a threat. I want to call it more like, oh, there's a big new tool coming down the road, right? And when we've explored it, we were all kind of in that zone of like, I'm a little nervous. I'm a little like, I'm also curious what it means.
There's still a little bit of that there. Mm-hmm. But thankfully, you know, just time is interesting. When things start to remain consistent across the board and you see it tapping into all these markets, then you start seeing some of its upper hand uses and some disadvantages all the same. So it'll be good to talk those through again.
Yeah. And also too, like we were talking just a second ago and thinking all the different, if you watch anything on YouTube or if you're listening to podcasts still, or even the video podcast, it does seem like there's this neat trend that like we could be more of a network under this DGDC banner and bring in different shows and different opinions and different experience and obviously even different industry. Look how many people we don't represent anything in like the UX UI area in a lot of ways with app development. We don't, You know what I mean? And then like folks that are doing pure merch kind of driven stuff and selling their own things and stuff. So there's so many other voices.
Yeah, I think it's important that we're kind of tiering this way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm super excited to get that started. Well, I was talking with Jason about how we were going to embark on some fresh stuff. And he was like, well, what about that idea I've been trying to pitch to you and even Nick from forever ago, where he wants us to get people from any given market, like what we've been talking about, and how they would utilize vendors' design across the board, not those within the creative industry altogether.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I guess we could get a little bit of thought,
I like anything,
that's
again,
such
like
a husband recommendation.
Anything that would be quite a spin would be good. Because I'm looking at content of what other, you know, like if I look through my YouTube or whatever, it's usually like cars, cooking, travel, whatever, right? And I'm seeing them like push the needle and trying these different things. And because I think whatever you're in, if you produce content for something, you can get into that cycle of creating the same thing over and over again. Every, you know, oh, April comes around, it's got to be this or whatever.
Sure.
Or it's goals or whatever for the first of the year. And
sure.
So I think just taking inspiration there would be great, and taking inspiration from you guys as well. So we're trying to do more. If we could do this and our bandwidths kind of open up a little bit, rather than three of us producing this one off show all the time, if we can open it up to other folks, there could be more engagement, there could be more talk, there could be more discussions in all these different areas. So
for shorter than an hour and ranging anywhere between, I don't know, 25 to 40 minutes. That's how typically I like to stick with the show anyhow as a consumer. I think that that's a good shift.
Yeah. If you have to do it in parts, sometimes you don't get the time to go back and refinish it. Like, have you ever, sometimes I'll like pull in the garage and I'll be like still listening, because I'm like, I only got 10 minutes left and I don't want to pause it because I'll never go back. So yeah, any good feedback from you guys on length of episodes, frequency of episodes, if there's a missing area that we are, that could make for a good show, if you've got a great idea for a show, hit us up. We want to like spread the word to everybody. Cause I think this is one of those things. I don't know about other creative or design based podcasts. I technically don't ever listen.
It's a little bit of a break. Understood.
Yeah, exactly.
And same. Yeah, very seldom, but
maybe you guys do. And there's something unique or cool that you feel that's missing. We'd love to kind of tackle it for sure.
The measure up. Yep.
Yeah. So that's it. And then, man, we were trying so difficult to get a moment to chat over just the last few weeks. But I think you and I were saying earlier, this January, is everyone I know is having the same January.
Is that right?
You can't plan. You just can't plan.
No.
Like you think you even have a day break and then something hits and you want to say yes to it, right?
I know. And how about all those Sundays where you're tapping in to catch up on some stuff and then Monday hits, you're like Sunday night thinking, okay, clean slate, ready to roll, have my time now to focus on X and Y. Monday morning comes around and X and Y are not visited whatsoever.
Yeah. That's so crazy. Like, yeah, and I'm noticing too, like even just clients are having harder time staying on their schedule. And it's not out of any other reason, but they've got complications too. They've got a life, one. They've got, in most of my cases with food and beverage stuff, it's kind of like, oh, the ingredients have to change, so hold off. And then you're like, well, how long are we holding? Because like, where are we with that kind of stuff?
For us, you know, with marketing efforts altogether, it's, well, we have these direct client base inquiries coming in, so we have to put marketing at the back burner so that these direct instances can come to the forefront. And you know, as a creative vendor, we don't have a visibility to those instances the way that those accounts do. So it's interesting how you have to oftentimes accommodate, sit back, nod your head, understandable, sure, I'm here, and then everybody comes around in one lump.
Yeah, at the same time.
There's no way to plan that. No two accounts are aware of each other's schedule, but that's oftentimes what takes place.
That's a who can ever solve that issue? I think that's one of those things that could,
right.
And you are the hub and you're the one person that touches all those other clients and their businesses. They don't have to worry about the other ones. You do.
No, right. Talk about
AI
interesting
fix that, please? When can AI come in and like, fix that? Maybe it could be the forward face or the narrative. It could be the conversation of like when a new job comes through and it's an ongoing client, they can come in and pop in like the creative brief, the dates, the checpoints, the ultimate due date.
I like that. We should designate.
Right? Can you imagine if I think that's something someone's got to be working on, and then it comes into your thing, and it's like, hey, the probability of this successfully working in the next month with your other stuff is 85%. Then you could be like, okay, let's take it on.
Right? Then there'd be a little bit better of a window read. But
I would love that.
I would too. I'm just thinking about those times where, let's say, you've got a trip. And all of a sudden, up until the last minute, announced, okay, we're ready to roll. Well, you right when you are departing, we all of us should have not just a process-based plan B, but an individual that's got your back for your business that they can get in touch with in the event that there is an issue, a fire.
Yeah.
Or they have to jumpstart because deliverable means require no later than a certain date type of thing. And there's no flexibility there.
Yeah.
That's worth discussing. That's something that we can segment in the world of examples too. I think we have lived those instances. So that would be cool to cover.
Someone's got to be doing something out there like that. Cause I would be so on board with some help in that way. Cause I'm looking for, I'm putting together this cool presentation. I'm getting to talk at a creative conference called Creative South in April, and it's in Atlanta. And I promised I would do something on AI. And at the time I was kind of like, I don't want to do like, it's doesn't feel like it has been openly welcome in the community. But then I see friends.
Don't
and
you
other
think
colleagues
in way
bored.
Of healthcare and saving lives and medicinal efforts through and through? Yes.
But on the creative side, it's a tough one because still feels like it's going to take the jobs from talented people, right?
Yeah, it's a tough one. It's a tough subject. So how are you feeling now?
I'm spinning it. I'm changing it to using AI to sell yourself as the solo entrepreneur. And that way I'm like, hey, even we're not going to talk about it being a replacement of art, but how about helping you with copywriting? How about helping you with scheduling? How about helping you with onboarding? Your bio, your headlines on your website, your collateral that you send. Like, I've been using ChatGPT on my presentations, and they've gone from like what I thought were great to just extraordinary storytelling right from the very beginning. Instead of just putting like, you know, client name, logo round one, right? I'm saying to ChatGPT, give me a headline of this book that's going to, you know, get them right from the very beginning. And it's writing these beautiful headlines with perfect accompanying, you know, body copy. And then we go into, it's almost like a storybook now. Imagine going from like a PowerPoint presentation.
I'd be curious to query that, just to throw it on the internet to see if it's being extracted. The system is extracting those means from another similar presentation.
It must be getting structure and like, call it like a Mad Lib. You know what I mean? Where it's kind of like, and it's, but it's, I'm putting in so much. So I didn't get to that level until we were maybe 4 to 5 pages deep in. You know how ChatGPT keeps the history in that channel? So everything you've talked about, it's considering. So it knew everything from the brand we created, why the name, the color choices. It knows the taglines we talked about. It knows the story paragraph we wrote for their website.
So in terms of archive, it's not reiterating or repurposing what they've already recommended. I'm just wondering about applications out there that another creative like yourself is utilizing it for presentation purposes.
Yeah.
Not maybe one-to-one, the exact same headline, but pretty damn similar.
Yeah. I guess the chances of it being found are probably so slim, right? Because like, what I do know
is that it's dipping into a population of options that are
is crazy. It all coming from the same pool, like kind of what crazy. You're saying. So, but the
did
reaction,
you hear OpenAI is going to start charging?
Yes. Yeah. Well, of course. I bought the Pro or whatever it's called. So
did
I pay already. And then I have, it gives you Dolly, which is kind of like a Midjourney, you know, competitor, but it also gives you data analysis. So you can say, here's a great example. Let's say you're putting together a brief for a new brand and they told you, here's our five competitors. You can put the five links of the competitors' websites in there and say, go through all these websites, give me a competitive analysis. You can even do a SWOT,
awesome.
What are their strengths? What are their weaknesses? What are their opportunities? What's their potential?
And that's a whole segment of discovery phase for projects through and through. That's nuts.
And then you could say, now put it in a beautifully written report and summarize it in two pages. So I can give that to the client and say, here's the competitive analysis we've done, but it will also recommend like what's missing in that industry or in that, you know, and that kind of with those competitors. So now you could be like, you know, you're so much more data driven. And I feel like the more I'm putting that into the work, the less I'm getting the client going, but I just don't like it because of the purple. You know, it's not a personal preference thing anymore. There's so much data behind it. So that's why I'm saying if we use AI more in that way in selling and as the people that really are involved the most with this, designers, graphic designers, whatever, all of us creatives, use it more that way. And I think it has a much better way of kind of supporting us rather than the art replacement. Because that's you could tell AI art like a mile away. You know what I mean? That's what I'm seeing. So
yeah, interesting.
Yeah. And
Come April, I mean, that's going to be here before we know it, of course. That's going to be fun.
I know. Gosh.
I can tell you've got butterflies already.
Yeah. And I just finished another one that's all about the unconventional thing. Like I was telling you earlier, it's kind of challenging you as a designer too, because I got a few comments from this client that was selling the work that we did, packaging and branding, to all of the retailer buyers at different stores like Whole Foods and stuff like that. And one of the comments direct he feedback. Got back was that we love your product and everything, but your branding's just a little conventional. You know, it's like, it's a little expected. And we were like, did we want that? You know, we didn't like, we couldn't.
Well, did that feedback come across as though the hope
like,
and the intent was non?
Like do better.
Yeah.
Like look at what's on the shelves right now. And one of the things I think I might have brought up it once on the show, maybe not, but if you all are listening, there's a really cool little spot called the Pop-Up Grocer in New York City, and it is an experimental grocery store. So
I love those email feeds that come in.
They only hire or bring in food, beverages, and products from a lot of those companies. And it was an eye-opening thing because I was like, yeah, maybe I'm not pushing the limit. And I go to my comfort zone. I go to my comfort fonts. I go to my comfort layout.
Interesting.
And I'm not. It was a fun exploration. Found all these great tips. That's going to be on the Print Design Summit online course.
You need to LaCroix that shit.
Yeah. Yeah, right? That's it. I should just make a t-shirt. Just LaCroix that shit. Because really, aren't they the beginner of that like, we don't give a damn. Like, here's the design. You're going to love it.
Yeah, totally.
Kind of looks like an explosion.
It totally does. It's a good cross the board example for.
That's hilarious. Well,
mishmash.
Speaking of AI, speaking of what we usually do at the end of the beginning of this year, one thing we want to share before we go is a fun little exploration of design trends, but I'll admit, I think some of them in the past have been like mailed in, right? It's like, oh, bright colors.
Isn't it interesting? It's been a mixed bag. Some are spot on. Some are just not even touched.
Exactly. And then I saw this the other day. And now, if you, again, we're going to have to remember this disclaimer because now we're going video. We'll do our best to explain this. But if you are watching or listening just to the audio, check us out on the Spotify app where you can do the video, or our YouTube channel. You can watch and see the graphics that we're doing. But we'll do our best to kind of explain what we're taking a look at here. But this was Creative Markets Design Trends for 2024. And what was so cool was these were actually the first time I remember seeing these and kind of going like, man, this is perfectly in line with what I think we need to look at, you know? It was really good. This first
one. Yeah, this was a good source to peruse for sure.
This one.
I mean, everybody's coming out with it. Like all those stock sources.
Yeah.
Creative Market's a little bit different in that regard, to me at least. I thought this was a good source to follow.
They're in that zone. They're kind of like Envato, but I think they started, but they bought Dribbble, right? So they that. This first one that they came is called That Human Touch. And I think there's a great example here of this really cool handwritten font and this kind of gestures of the hand and the photography. But this idea, they had this great thing here. It says, I think that the more AI standardizes art and design, the more the public will begin to form a deeper appreciation for art that is undoubtedly human. And I'm like, woo, that's what we need to keep in mind as AI is going there. And they're highlighting these like really funky, almost like odd fonts, like, you know, like this one here. I think this
is
really cool.
Aren't they coming out like crazy now?
Yeah. Oh, look at, and then perfect. You can actually, it went to a different window for mine. I wasn't sharing it, but I clicked on it and obviously it goes to Creative Market and shows the font. Very smart of them.
Sure. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And here's some more examples. I think, again, if we are not being, if we're not paying attention to the human touch of these things, don't you think AI can get a little carried away?
Yeah.
You know?
That robotic means
this
is important. Although, I don't know, don't you feel like that Sharpie approach here with take me to the beach, you're seeing a lot now?
Yeah.
With that brush stroke. But it does exemplify the human touch altogether.
It does. Like, yeah, it's handwritten. I think that's their... might be not the best take of it. I think the photography really works good for me too. And even this little thing.
It works well.
Right. Like this to me again was a great one where it almost feels like a kid or Picasso did this. Like, I don't know. Right. Yeah. Like that's the kind of stuff that I don't know if we can replicate that now in AI. So might as well highlight it if this is something. Even this little bar at the top, the human touch. I think seeing fonts that have irregularities and certain parts are thin, certain parts are expanded, like that's making us think a little bit. And I'm down for it. I really love this vibe. And again, even in photography and the way you can stylize it is really cool.
It's not over captivating, but it's just a trickle enough.
Yeah, there you go. Just a trickle enough. Here's another one, Peak Surreal. And I'm seeing this a lot too, this kind of jittery photography glitch thing. It looks like a kind of a blurred glitch in a way. It says, I want to look just beyond just design and illustration, to look at the root and depth, to create art that will help people open up and understand themselves more deeply through beauty, through their vision of the world, and through subconsciousness. And that's it's a little dreamy. It's a little like, what else have they got?
Almost lake reflection-esque.
Yeah. But it doesn't, like, this kind of almost doesn't make sense. Like, and I kind of like it. Like, you and I would never design this, like, right? Like, this isn't our aesthetic. But why can't it be?
Right. Well, and that's the whole point of visiting this stuff. This is cool. Well, but the story that is associated with that visual.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's spot on.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's true. If it's good for you're right. I think the disclaimer is it still has to work for what you're designing for, like your creative brief. It's got to ask for this. But again, like sometimes if someone was to ask me to do something and say, hey, we wanted to go a little deeper to the root of whatever. I need to see this to know how to push, I think, my limit a little bit too, you know, because this is so much more artistic.
We'll talk about inspiration without dipping into the exact pieces. I mean, it just makes you think outside the box a little bit further.
Yeah. Now, this one's interesting. Number three, it's called the AI director. And what I love about this is it says with AI, production should become a lot faster, freeing the designer to come up with more concepts, curate what's good, and then produce final results. And we saw a talk at Max that talked about this, and it was saying that you as a designer, maybe even coming out of school or self-taught, you might be art directing faster than generations in the past because AI is speeding it, is going to speed it up. So if production and things go a lot faster, you're being freed up to be more of the creative director. And I think that's something we all should be like considering for the future. What do you think? Is that, does that make sense?
I mean, don't you think it's to each his own? So based on project, based on request, I'm thinking about those times where I'm one team member of eight, if not more.
Yeah.
And so if AI were to accompany any phase to any given project with that many people, would I feel in that director hat to the extent that I might if it were supporting a startup and I was managing everything from the ground up?
Yeah. I just think it's anything that's speeding up time means what are you going to do with that extra time?
Yeah.
If it's your one team, if you're a 12-person team, whatever it might be. And like, let's say AI is even helping you with like what I was saying, it's helping me copyright and put together a more confident sales pitch. I can spend more time now refining the designs and the layout and my enthusiasm when I pitch it because I saved a little time. So I'm like, I'm playing more art director. I'm doing less of the, what I would call more like production work. And that and that might even be email. Like what if email could be streamlined?
It's more conceptual.
Do you see what I mean? So this is an interesting new trend.
You know what? Oh, this is getting me so excited about the idea of getting a storyteller, a copywriter on the show that utilizes AI to understand before and after and what's useful, what's not working.
Yeah. It's so new. So there's got to be some lessons learned already or maybe even some kind of like, you know, areas where you can even try it out and start it, you know, really cool. Obviously theme four, this falls into place every time and it's sustainable aesthetics. It's not so much, we see this a lot where it's like, oh, packaging is going to go to eco-friendly and, you know, soy-based inks. And I know from experience, every time you price that out, the package is like five times the cost and your client
so
goes,
much more expensive.
Nope. So what this is doing is it's more like the aesthetic can give you the same reaction if it's a beautiful palm image like this, right? And it's being used unique there. Let's see what else they're showing here. Yeah, even here, look at the, oh my gosh, look at those these green and these rusty colors and things like that. Like that's to me feeling like it's kind of environmentally conscious, but maybe it's just in its aesthetic. You know?
Yeah, more grainy, more fibrous. I feel like we're seeing more of those retail tags with that twine looking material. That's interesting.
You know what I always laugh at? Target has a brand where they have that. It looks really clean and aesthetic like that. It even has the twine. But the twine at the end is machine tagged to the tag. So it's like look at us. We're so like, we've got the twine, but it's not tied to anything.
And then
it's still
again,
machine,
not so much.
It's still machine attached. But they're saying here, I expect to see a greater focus on design that is ethical and responsible. This means designing products and services that are good for users and society as a whole. I believe that design has the power to make a positive impact on the world. And true, like I think you can even, one thing you could do is you could put facts on there. You can put tips on there. Let's say maybe you couldn't afford the aesthetically beautiful, environmentally conscious packaging. But what you can do is you can put, hey, plant this box or use it as a second use, you know, use it as a planter or whatever it might, you know what I mean? Like you could put that on there in the copy and still, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Love that vibe. Ooh, dynamic by design. This is great. This is a good one. They're saying 30% of designer surveys said animated illustrations would be the asset category growing most in 2024, followed by social media templates and variable fonts. So again, like I think this idea of animated, here's some really cool. Oh, look at these. These are just great. Oh my God. I love this vibe. So like animated things, I think as well, this has always been, movement's been a trend. I think we've seen on a lot of these things in the past, but now it's like, you know, you could go into like Adobe Express and you could take your vector art and make a great little, a little motion out of it.
I love that liquid light sample.
Isn't that great? Look at that. Oh,
that is so cool. Fun.
So you could do these things that I don't, you don't need to like reinvent the wheel and learn a whole new program. If you just need a little extra taste of like movement,
motion. Yeah, I like that it's not reinventing. This isn't like massive introduction to something we've never seen before. It's just a little bit more furthering the edge.
Really cool. That's I love this. Love that. Signature seeking. This is an interesting one. I honestly hope to see fewer designers trying to follow trends and more focusing on finding their unique style, who they are and as a designer and how they can use it to their benefit. We're here to be creative. Stop following the crowd.
Oh my God.
Pretty good. Like
that's funny.
And so,
yeah.
Now here's the thing. I think you and I are in positions where
sound like Daplin.
We can't have a signature. I don't want a signature look because I'm not an artist for hire in that way. I'm going to find your look to the client. You feel the same way, right? Like if you had a signature look. Yeah, we established
the look and feel for these. Yes.
Yeah. So like if you're self-branding yourself or if you're doing merch, if you're doing stuff that's actually, I think, in commerce, like that, yes, for sure. You should be seeking a signature look. You should have one, I think. But to say this to someone who works with multiple clients from multiple industries and multiple things, I don't think this one's
your face can cross multiple.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and it reminds me of that amazing dude we interviewed that runs creative industry and they went on this recently. He had just gotten back with all of his team from a retreat getaway in the woods where they were.
Yes.
He does. He practices this.
Yeah. Dan from Lincoln.
He practices this. He practices different faces for their agency through and through.
Oh yeah, and it's got a definite look like, and that's the work they want to be hired for. And I love that. I think
people really appreciate that.
I don't think, I'll be so honest, I don't have a look that I would think could be sellable. Like, what's sellable about me is my versatility to give you what you need as a look, but I would never say like I do gritty graffiti style branding. Only come to me if you want that. That's not me. You know?
Although if you look at their portfolio, they're kind of all over. They don't only work on functified accounts and functified projects.
I always say their stuff, the common thread is like it's loud and it gets your attention.
Mm-hmm.
Like That's a niche. I think that's a signature.
That is.
Your signature could be like I'm targeted to the specific audience that it needs to be. That could be your niche. You know, like
they've done well with that.
You know, yeah.
We always see this. It's super fun.
Brutally bold. I mean, for sure, this is kind of something we see a lot here. I think this does have a risk of falling into. Are you a brand or are you like everything else I've seen? If you do this too much, it feels like they all look the same. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Big bold text, like, okay, great. But
yeah, cropping off like this mode, black and white sample here. It's that's
I like it for editorial. I mean,
it's remained, it's stayed around. It's usable still. But you know what? In 06 and 07, I remember seeing this for the first time at a creative agency that I was hired with.
Yeah.
And I'm only mentioning the year just because that's how mainstream it's become.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right. It's not even a trend anymore. This is a viable approach anytime, any year.
but interestingly, can be speaking of as a trend because there are ways to make this not totally comfortable and to stretch.
That's true. Yeah. Let's look at this. All right. So we've got hybrid fonts. Again, I've seen this a lot. I do like this vibe where there are replacements within there that don't feel like they belong. Look at this one with the heart and the beat. Like there's the vowels, if not maybe it's a glyph, so you can do it to any of these letters, but you can highlight any letter in this beautiful serif font and it turns to a very light, almost balloony.
Yeah.
Light, inline.
Yeah, almost cartoonish.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. These are great. These are really cool. Even this one looks cool. I love seeing lowercase kind of raised bigger to look like
this
the uppercase.
I mean, that's really again, fun. Not.
Yeah.
Usable across all
this was
established brands.
This was a really good capture.
Good source.
And it's a wonderful site. If you go to creativemarket.com/trends, we'll have it in the show notes, but you can obviously take a look at it. And I just love, this would be a great portfolio. Like just if this was your kind of quick one pager, it's really well put together. They're really kind of up in the game there. I like it. So good stuff.
Me really too. Cool. It's great.
All right, guys. Well, we're going to try to keep these ones short, like we said. And
yeah,
that was a great little capture.
36, not bad.
Damn. Look at us. Under 40.
Hey.
You're welcome.
Well, good job not spending too much overkill time on a single trend.
Yeah. There you go. Awesome, guys. Well, again, if you did like this and you want to submit any kind of stuff, please do that as well. Let us know what we can kind of fill in, if there's anything we're missing as well. And feel free to kind of share this with others. I think now that we're going to be putting these on the YouTube channel as well, we're going to give you the like, subscribe, share. I'm sure that's what every YouTube person says nowadays, but we could definitely use your help in getting it out there and having other people kind of check it out. If there's anybody else that you think would love to see this, let them know.
Yeah, send little nudges. Don't hesitate.
Exactly. I love it. All right, guys, have a good rest of the day and we'll see y'all later.
Bye.